Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
It is a Wednesday. We do this every Wednesday throughout the year and visit with Brian Walton from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios. 14 brands, 10 locations. You may not want to leave your house. Don't worry about it. Just shop for your next vehicle, new or used, at fuse.com. Brian, good morning to you. How are things?
Well, it's kind of quiet right now here, and I'm sure everywhere across the country. So it's great to get on and talk about baseball again because there's plenty of news since the last time.
It's quiet, but yet you think about it, in some ways, there's always news. Like, that's the crazy thing with sports and in our business, baseball. Yeah, it's quiet. They're not playing games, but man, there's still a ton of news, isn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, Major League Baseball and the Players Association struck a big deal last Friday that basically set a blueprint in place for how the sport's going to proceed in the next few months. And that was a big, big deal for them to get in place so that everybody kind of understands what the ground rules are when play resumes.
Well,
if play resumes.
Yeah, let's dive into that. Your takeaways of $170 million for the first couple of months, it's had a drastic impact on the draft. It has an impact on minor leaguers. Just in general, what did you think of the deal?
Well, I think it definitely benefits the owners in that they have financial certainty. And as I'm sure we get into the details, for the players, they seem to be most anxious to protect service time in the event that a season isn't played, which sort of tells you, you know, based on their negotiating posture, that the players are worried that, you know, they're not going to be able to get a season in.
Let's talk about the draft. Just your thoughts on the draft and how that is going to impact amateur baseball and those kids that – you know, want to become pros.
Well, the draft, you know, part of this agreement said that the commissioner has the right to move the draft back from its June 10th date to as late as July 20th. And the signing date would be as late as August 1st. And those are just guidelines right now because there is no concrete date. They want to wait and, you know, get a little more time. What we do know is that the 40-round draft is extinct. This year it'll be reduced from 40 to as few as five. And again, Manfred has the choice. Rob Manfred, commissioner, has the choice to decide whether they'll go five or maybe a few more rounds. And sort of the rumor mill says, you know, the sooner play starts and the sooner revenue gets flowing, the more inclined ownership would be to draft more players this year. So, but five is the only guarantee this year. So it's going to be a much different draft. Obviously.
Absolutely. What about undrafted players and their bonuses and how that works? How's it worked in the past and how's it going to work going forward?
Well, teams had flexibility. Normally in the draft, the first 10 rounds were slotted. So a team would be given a basic pool of money for the first 10 rounds that they could use, you know, in the $5, $6, $7 million range, depending on the team and the previous year. But if teams wanted to go over that amount, to not spend all that money, but use some of that money to enhance bonuses on later rounds, they could do that. Otherwise, players after the 10th round could not be signed for more than $125,000 unless they used leftover money from the first 10 rounds. The new rule for this year and next year is that while the pool money is the same for the first five rounds or 10 if they do that many, after the draft, the unsigned players cannot get more than $20,000 each. So instead of 125 down to 20. Now, the impact of that is, hey, even though they're only going to draft, say, five rounds, you'd think then there would be many more guys signed as free agents. But when the amateurs look at this money, they're going to say, hey, you know, it's not worth it to sign right now. Maybe I'm better off to go back to school. And then couple that with a decision from the NCAA, which is to give players, seniors, another year and give them up to 6 years to complete their eligibility. And then the fact that they're going to relax their current limitations of 35 players on a roster and 27 on scholarship in baseball. They're going to relax those rules. You know, the push will be on for these amateurs, whether they're high schoolers or college juniors, whatever, to go back to school for another year and wait to see what happens in 2021.
This is Cardinals broadcaster and Schnucks shopper Dan McLaughlin. Schnucks would like to thank everyone during this difficult time. That includes those that are working in the stores. As you can imagine, during this time, Schnucks employees are putting in long hours around the clock to best serve our community. So the next time you're in Schnucks, tell them thanks and that you appreciate them. Let them know how much we appreciate their efforts, because we will all get through this together.
And there's no way that a team could get creative, right? I mean, they let's say a kid gets undrafted, but yet he would have been, let's just say for argument's sake, in the rounds of 11 to 15. I mean, that pool, that money that is there, a team could not get creative doing something to incentivize that, to make it better, to make that kid make the decision to come out.
Probably not. It doesn't look like it. And it's not totally clear yet whether, you know, teams would be able to take that, slot money and apply it for free agents. That hadn't been the case in the past. Before, the slot money, the underspent slot money, had to be used on draft picks. So, but it's clear that, you know, given the uncertainty about the season, baseball is limiting the number of players that they're bringing into the organizations, because while the full season teams, and here I'm talking about, you know, the AAA, AA, those teams are going to have to play somehow, because they're the injury pipeline, they're the reserve pipeline for the majors. But when you get down to short season baseball, and here I'm talking about State College in the New York Penn League, Johnson City in the Appalachian League, those leagues don't start play until after the draft, mid the second half of June, and they only play till Labor Day. So if there's any doubt about baseball being able to resume this summer, there are those saying short season ball this year, you know, may not even happen at all. And of course, one reason that that plays into that is you're only drafting five players, you know, per organization. So it sort of plays into the hand of what Major League Baseball wants to do next year, which is eliminate, you know, up to 42 teams and eliminate some of those short season levels. So, it could be because of the coronavirus and the shorter draft that is actually going to get implemented kind of through the back door.
How about minor leaguers right now? How about how they're being paid in the interim? What's going on with them?
Well, there was an announcement made, I believe yesterday or the day before, that the plan that MLB had to pay minor leaguers $400 per week, that was announced back in about a week after camps closed, they're going to continue that $400 weekly allowances through the end of May, and that minor league players will also then continue to receive their health benefits. So that's a good deal. That's a big deal. The $400 is interestingly the same from AAA all the way down to the youngest players that would have been either in regular spring training camp or extended spring training camp. And that's another ramification here that a lot of folks maybe didn't understand. The number of players that were covered in the first group of $400 allowances that were to run through April 8th, kind of the end of minor league spring training, those were basically the people who were already, you know, in camp, invited to minor league camp, or people that were in major league camp, non-roster guys that were sent out. Now, this group actually includes those players who would have come in for extended spring training. And again, extended spring training is the next group of players, the players that don't make the full season teams, the four full season teams, Memphis, Springfield, Palm Beach, Peoria. Those players, the extended spring training, they basically continue to play games in Jupiter on the backfields in April, May, into the beginning of June. And then they're normally joined by the drafted players, and they make up the short season teams. So the good news is all these players are going to get their $400 weekly allowances at least through the end of May. The bad news is that word's starting to trickle out that a number of organizations have released a number of players, which, you know, really doesn't look good at this time. And in fact, at the major league level, they put a transaction freeze in place so that this kind of thing could not happen.
I always love visioning with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. You get such great news. International signings, the impact on the upcoming July 2nd class. What do you see right now with the international signing class and again, that date of July 2nd?
Yeah, the July 2nd class, that's sort of the, you know, the colloquial words that are used to describe the international signing period, which begins on July 2nd each year and then runs until June 15th of the next year. That's the time in which organizations can sign these young international players, and they're given a pool amount. Again, the amount's in the $5 to $7 million per year to spend on international players. Now, the current class is you know, close to being done. So most all the money for the 2019-2020 international class, that money's already spent. And the next class, starting this next July 2nd, most of that money's committed as well, because deals get made on handshakes well ahead of when the formal signing can start. But what the decision's been made, and you know, sort of like at the major league and minor league levels as well, it's about deferring expense, because let's face it, you know, major league revenues are down as well, so they got to defer expense. So Rob Manfred has the right to delay this July 2nd signing period until as late as next January 15th. So, of course, what that means is basically a half a year of all that expense would move out of 2020 into 2021. Now, again, that isn't decided yet, but that could also happen for the 2022 class as well. They haven't cut the bonuses, but, again, the date in which they start spending, you know, could slide to the right. And I'm sure, you know, they're going to be watching, you know, this, you know, the major situation of the coronavirus and when the game can start, when the revenue can start again, to give them guidance on when they want to turn the international signing money back on.
What do you think will happen with a minor league season in terms of, let's just say, let's throw just a random date out there. So let's say July 1st is when baseball would come back, fingers crossed. What do you think happens with a minor league season with that? Is it all systems go, or do you think there's just too many variables to try to even predict something like that?
Well, I mean, let's just step back and look at the raw numbers. For Major League Baseball to start again, they're either going to have to play potentially in some empty stadiums, or maybe move away from some of the hot spots and have neutral site games in order to get going. Now, if you have AA and AAA going again, that's 60 more cities that have to be cleared to allow teams to play. And that's going to be a challenge. I've heard some rumors about the fact that maybe minor league baseball is going to be just played in the complexes in Florida and Arizona. And, you know, it's just basically big scrimmages, or, you know, like big spring training camp. And that, you know, maybe there won't be games in the minor league cities this year, as a way to try to control, you know, the respreading or the, you know, recurrence of the virus if this goes on so long. And in that environment, you know, they'd basically be back squad, inter squad games, but at least there would be some players ready to step in when there were injuries at the major league level.
You know what I find fascinating with this is that in the minor leagues, that's when you're getting over the hump, and that's when you're becoming a major league talent potentially, and that's what the goal is. I got to wonder that if you don't have a year in which there's competition, how much that stunts the growth of a young player, not just major leaguers. I mean, because certainly that could have a difference with those guys too. I mean, you got to stay sharp, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. It's these guys are creatures of habit. They work on various things throughout the year to stay in major league camp or to be major leaguers. But in minor leagues, you know, you see significant jumps with players because they're so young physically, emotionally, mentally. I don't know, Brian. I think that's a fascinating aspect of this, just what happens if it stunts certain players' growth and they just hit a wall. Because if you're not playing competition, it's hard not to, you know, to improve on the things that you have to get better at.
And it's something we'll never know. You know, you'll never know about player A, you know, if he doesn't come to be, you know, what he could have been. You know, the organizations have a site, Team Builder, that all the players go on and they get their workouts and they're communicating with the coaches and the staff. So, you know, everything's being done that can, but, you know, every player is different in terms of what access to equipment he has, you know, whether you know, players to work out, you know, not everybody has batting cages or, you know, video capabilities or whatever. And, you know, it's one thing to be playing catch every day, you know, with your neighbor or your buddy down the street, but being ready to play at the highest level is something that you just can't turn it on, you know, on and off like a faucet. And, you know, it's going to be challenging, you know, for players, whether we're talking about major leaguers on down to, you know, kids from the Dominican Republic or Venezuela.
Well, I'm curious about your thoughts on this, the Major League Baseball season, when it could resume, what that schedule might look like, the All-Star game. What do you think about all those factors that we're talking about there?
Well, it's a great question, Dan. You know, the most optimistic view would be that players could somehow get back to camp in the second half of May, and maybe the season could start in early June. But, you know, that feels like wishful thinking here on the first day of April. But, you know, if they could do that, they might be able to squeeze in 120, 130 games by using doubleheaders, you know, perhaps. And, you know, there's been talk, and maybe I'd like to hear your opinion on this, whatever you've picked up. But I think what I'm hearing is that they want to try to pick up the season where it ended and not, you know, completely redo the schedule where they have to change travel plans and all that around. But to squeeze doubleheaders in, you know, means there would have to be some adjustment, certainly to the current schedule, right?
Absolutely. And to your point, to follow up on that, yeah, that's been my understanding. You just kind of pick it up. So if it's July 1st, you're playing July 1st on the schedule of what was the original schedule. Now, I think you make a great point. Well, what does that mean for doubleheaders? Well, I don't know. And if you're trying to figure in as many games as you can, you could play a double. So say you're playing the Cubs, right? Let's just, for argument's sake, it's July 1st, you got a three-game series with the Cubs, and you're on a weekend, and you're saying, okay, we're going to play on a Friday night. We're going to play two then on Saturday. Well, what about Sunday, right? So what happens there? How much can you squeeze into that to playing those doubleheaders? And it could be just a logistical nightmare with tickets and trying to get people to the ballpark if, knock on wood, we'd be able to do that. I just find it very, very tough. I also think about this, too, with the schedule. If you did that and they find out ways to do it, as it pertains to the Cardinals, I'd be very curious how many games you have left with, let's say, the Pittsburgh Pirates or the lesser teams, you know, and is that truly a fair schedule that you're giving for the competition, which is something to think about.
Yeah, that's right, Dan. And, you know, the way that they'll try to work that out is that, you know, the new games, I call them new games, that would be scheduled during the month of October. Because, you know, the rumor is, you know, the only way you could get to 120, 130 games is to play pretty much the whole month of October. And obviously, those games aren't scheduled. So how do you decide that, let's say, if 3 months of the regular season is lost, you know, which third of that for those 3 months you tack on in October? And, you know, there's going to be claims of unfairness if, you know, some teams get what's perceived as a tougher schedule than the others, because by definition, whatever schedule is played is going to be imbalanced. There's just no way around it.
No, there's not. Triad Bank is a full-service financial institution established in 2005, a mission to provide a wide range of commercial and personal banking services to closely held businesses like ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. And that's where we do our banking, TriadBanking.com. How about the umpires? We haven't talked about them. They're on the field. They're missing games. What's going on with the umpires?
Yeah, well, the news that we saw on Tuesday was that the umpires have been advised by Major League Baseball to file unemployment. So they're basically, you know, like lots and lots of other workers who don't have jobs. Now, I don't know how strong the umpires union is and how much money they have in reserve to help their members, but it looks like umpires are going to be on unemployment.
TheCardinalNation.com. If you haven't figured it out, Brian's got an unbelievable website in which he is covering Major League Baseball, also covering, as you can listen and imagine, a ton of the minor leagues. So we don't have minor league games. There aren't prospects to talk about in terms of what they're doing on the field right now, Brian. So what are you doing with TheCardinalNation.com? Because you've got articles up there every single day.
One of my things on my long wish list that I've never gotten time to do in recent years was to go back and do a history series on the Cardinals minor league system, and to not only look at the system as a whole, how it's performed over time and who some of the key individuals are, but then by the individual level, so AAA, AA, et cetera. And so we're, you know, just getting into that series. The article up today is High A, so we've had Triple A and Double A so far, and we'll be going through all eight levels. And then after that, we'll get into some of the top performers, and you know, whether they're MVPs or stat leaders in various leagues or across the system over time. So it's going to be a nice series where we're delivering new content every day about some of the rich history of the Cardinals Player Development Organization.
I'm really curious when you're doing this at thecardinalnation.com. Again, go by to that website with Brian and and make sure you subscribe. It's really great info. I'm curious, as you're doing the research on these teams, players, cities, how much do you see the fingerprints of, let's say, Branch Rickey or George Kissel or some of the great names that we've had in this organization?
You know, I think it's easy for people to think about such a powerful and influential figure like George Kissel to say, well, you know, he was kind of this roving instructor who showed up and imparted wisdom, and like Yoda, he, you know, headed off into the background. But George Kissel actually managed in the minor leagues at a number of different levels over time, typically at the lower level systems. But he also spent time on the major league staff. You know, Red had him up with the major leagues. So, you know, he basically was all over the entire system. And it's really, you know, very, very interesting to see the guys who, you know, coach him. Sparky Anderson was a minor league manager in the Cardinals system. Who knew, right?
Absolutely. And you know, it was interesting. George was with Tony La Russa, too. People forget about that. He was traveling at the latter stages of his career with Tony La Russa. Tony wanted him around as a sounding board. And think about that, Tony wanting a sounding board for him. But that's the impact of this man. And I don't think we can talk about that enough, just what an unbelievable baseball man that George Kissel was.
And it's, you know, it's a wonderful testament that not only the Cardinals named the entire minor league complex after George Kissel, but that their, you know, peer award, as we talked about last week, you know, for the leading individual in the player development organization to be the honor, you know, the honorees of the George Kissel Award. And just to show you, you know, again, not that anybody didn't know it already, how much they thought of George Kissel. George Kissel himself was the first winner of the George Kissel Award.
Yeah. Final thought from you. And it's kind of a human, what's the best way to say it? I guess just the human aspect of the game of baseball. What do you miss about the game right now? If I was going to say to Brian Walton, I ran into you on the street and I said, Brian, we're not playing baseball. What do you miss about it? What is it?
Well, just being there. I mean, I was, you know, I don't normally go down to spring training until the minor league game starts. So I was literally just a couple days away from getting on an airplane and be on the backfields with my radar gun and my camera and my notepad and, you know, talking to players and coaches and fans and, you know, doing what I do, which is to report on the Cardinals system. And the fact that there's not live baseball, you know, to report on is something that I miss greatly. Now, my next trip would have been extended spring training at the start of May, where I'd also go down and see Palm Beach. And so I haven't canceled my reservations yet, but, you know, that's more my heart, you know, than my head, because, of course, I know there's not going to be any baseball in the beginning of May either. And, you know, now it's June and the draft's not going to happen. And it's just, you know, one thing after another. I don't know how long it's going to be till I get to be, you know, to see live baseball again. And that's really, really discouraging.
Well, I appreciate all your work. And I know all the fans that subscribe and listen to this and also on your website appreciate everything that you do, because you put your heart and soul into it. So thanks, Brian. I appreciate it. And again, we'll catch up next Wednesday. Be safe.
Sounds good, Dan. You too.
Luke Hughes, we are St. Louis.
Dan McLaughlin here to tell you about the hometown automotive family I trust the most, the Lou Hughes Automotive Network, and you know they are St. Louis. Lou Hughes has been a part of St. Louis for over 7 decades. They're proud to support St. Louis and the surrounding areas with cars, youth, sports, and charitable efforts. 14 brands, 10 locations. Just visit Hughes.com to start shopping today.
Lou Hughes, we are St. Louis.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.